거예요.
Bibles, would you please? To Psalm 34. Psalm 34, would you please? And while you're turning there, I'll pray and then we'll see what God has for us tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come in this manner again. Pray that your Spirit will be working in and amongst us, coming beside us, being that comfort, that guide, that word of encouragement, Lord, whatever you see fit that we need in our inner being. Let your word be the one that does any teaching or exhorting. And Father, we do pray that you will give us that desire to listen to your word and then apply it to our hearts and lives. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is not something that Linda and I have to worry about these days, but if you have young children, you would know that one of the little dramas in life is when it comes to food time. Convincing your children to eat what's on their plate. I can look at the Wilsons over there and there's a relief. Well, I guess it's relief. I'm sure it's no problem now. But when you got little children, I think you would agree that that's probably one of the little struggles that you have in life as a parent with small children. I never had a problem trying to get the children to eat what I wanted them to eat, like lollies, ice cream, chocolate cake, chicken, watermelon, sausages. I didn't like bananas, but, you know, they were happy to eat bananas. Those sort of things were fine. Yet when it comes to food like peas, beans, pumpkin, I still don't like that, cauliflower, broccoli, and boy, could I tell you some stories about broccoli with Robert. He's at home watching, fearful if I do, but I won't. But some fun memories of broccoli, right? And spinach. When it comes to trying to get your children to eat those things, Linda struggled, all right? I wasn't involved with any of that, all right? But Linda certainly struggled. Sometimes we struggle to get them to eat certain food because when they tasted it, it was terrible. It tasted awful. And so when it came to the repeat of trying to get them and they saw that particular food on the plate, they didn't want to have anything to do with it because they knew how terrible it tasted. Then there's even, you can go a little step further where sometimes something was on the plate and it just didn't look tasty. All right, they hadn't tasted it, it just didn't look tasty, and so they weren't interested in eating it. I know that for myself, cucumbers. I hated cucumbers because of the look at them. And then my mum very sneakily said, if you close your eyes and you eat them, it tastes like watermelon. So I closed my eyes and I ate it. And if you close your eyes and you imagine hard, it actually does taste like watermelon, all right? And so that's something to work on, kids. And so now I love cucumbers. I discovered they are yummy, all right, through that. But oftentimes it's hard. And those who refuse to eat food based on what it looks like, well, then you miss out, I'm sure, on some very yummy foods. And those that are brave enough to eat it, regardless of what it looks like, you get to discover some yummy things. And some not so yummy things as well. But anyway, you get to discover. Now, something I found about when you discover something that's yummy, and that is you have this inbuilt desire to share it with others. You know, you eat something yummy and you think, wow, that is so nice. Have a taste, or you really should enjoy this. There's someone, can you believe there's someone in this church that doesn't like watermelon? I'm not going to mention their name, but I can't comprehend that. You know, watermelon is so nice, and surely you want to get them to eat it because it's so yummy. Usually when something is so yummy, you want to share it. Unless maybe it's chocolate. You know, you don't want to let on that chocolate's yummy because then you have to share it. But generally, usually we want others to enjoy what we have enjoyed when it comes to food. That's a good thing. And I'm saying that because David does this very same thing in this psalm that we're looking at. He has tasted something and he says it's good, and he wants us to taste it as well. Have a look there in Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, David's not talking about food for our stomach, but he's talking about something even more important, that is food for our soul. And he found that the Lord is good. He is good for your soul. And he encourages others. You need to taste the Lord because he is good. It's a blessing when you get to trust in him. And so David experienced the goodness of God, and he wanted others to enjoy it as well. And I've seen this happen when it comes to Christians in various ways. When someone gets saved, a newly saved person, they often have this desire to tell others of how good God is and how they need to taste him as well. Once they enjoy that forgiveness of sin and that comfort of knowing Christ is there, and that comfort of eternal security in the Lord, they want others to discover that as well. And so they want their parents who are unsaved to taste and see that the Lord is good. They want their siblings and friends to do the same. They may even go to work and say, oh, taste and see the Lord, he's amazing. And they share the gospel. Problem is, often they don't want to taste it, do they? They don't want to see it. They think, what? Change what I believe? Oh, no thanks. Or change the way I'm acting? Oh, I don't like the look of that. I don't like the taste of that. Or admit that I'm a sinner and I need help? No thanks. And so they reject it on the basis of what they see and what it looks like, Christianity. And for someone who has just been saved and enjoyed that blessing that comes with cleansing of sin, they can't understand. I know that was I might say that about my children, but that was the frustration of my parents. They would say, this is yummy, Alan. And I don't like the look of it. No, thank you. I'm not interested. And that's how people respond to the gospel. And they miss out on the tastiest thing in life, salvation and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, based on what they perceive. And it doesn't look too tasty to them. And it's sad, because there is nothing more beautiful than the Lord Jesus and that relationship with him. But it's not just people who get saved. You know, I have discovered that those who do trust the Lord and they step out in faith in some way, and then they see how wonderfully the Lord answers their prayer and helps them through that time, they too want to encourage others, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And there have been many who have maybe given up a job that gives them a lot of security, and they give that up for full-time service, and they go on the mission field or whatever it is, and they get to see how God helps them and provides for them and blesses them, and they see God use them, and they want to share that with others and say, taste and see that the Lord is good when you step out in faith. Others may have been just being weighed down by sin and weights in their life, until the point where
they are willing to step out in faith and trust the Lord with this, and they throw out certain things, they change certain things, they stop certain things, and there is that cleanness within their heart and their soul, and that liberty and that lightness now that they're doing what God wants and they want to encourage others. It is a blessing when you step out in faith and trust the Lord like that. You should try it. Happens. Maybe they spoke up about Jesus at work, or gave up an idol and obeyed the Lord. There's lots of times where people, they get to enjoy how tasty God really is. And this is what David was saying here. I have tasted the Lord and he's good. I trusted him and he proved himself to be beautiful. And you should do the same. And as I was thinking upon this psalm, it got me thinking, well, what was the circumstances for David to say this? You know, if you were in on a luxury yacht cruising the Bahamas and you're checking your bank balance and it has dropped a little to 2.3 million, all right? But you still are able, the servants, to bring you all the lobsters and so on, and you're sitting back, enjoying everything, and saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? You think, well, it doesn't even matter if the Lord's there or not, you know, it's pretty good, surely. But what was the circumstances for David to say this? Well, have a look at the beginning of the psalm. And just as a point of note, we would call the ruler king, all right? But we know that Rome, they called him Caesar. We know that in Egypt, they referred to the king as Pharaoh. The Persians referred to their king as Ahasuerus. And the Philistines would refer to their king as Abimelech. So it's good to keep that in mind. It says, a psalm of David, when he had changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Turn to 1 Samuel 21, would you please? Here we see this account. This is what inspired David. So he's not he's definitely not on a yacht here in the Bahamas, for starters. But go back and we see this account. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid for Achish, the king of Gath. This is the Abimelech of Gath. And so he's brought to him trying to escape Saul, and he comes before this Philistine king, and now they say, hey, this is the David. He's our enemy. He's the one that's slain so many of us. And David's sore afraid. And so what does he do? And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto the servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? I don't want some crazy guy in my house. Chapter 22, verse 1. Have a look there. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discomfited, gathered themselves unto him, And he became a captain over them, and there was with him about 400 men. And so in this predicament, we see that David had escaped Saul. He ran to help with the Philistines there. They thought, hey, this guy is our enemy. We should kill him. And so he acts like a crazy man. And they say, get rid of him. And so there he goes and hides in a cave away from all his enemies. It seemed like everyone was against him. And it was at this point David wrote this psalm. And so with that in mind, let's go back to Psalm 34 and let's read it with that in mind. This is where he is. It says, Psalm 34 verse 1, a psalm of David when he had changed his behavior before Abimelech who drove him away and he departed. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so the context, as I said here, is certainly not quite what we might have thought it was. The context here is he had been threatened by Saul, and so he had to run for his life. He goes to the Philistines. They recognize him and say, he's our enemy. Let's kill him. And so he acts like a madman. They send him away, and he's hiding out there in that cave. And God heard his prayer and rescued him. And the angel of the Lord encamped around him, as it says there, and protected him. And he was able to go away safely and unharmed. And what did David do? As I said, he wrote a psalm telling everyone how wonderful God is and how we should taste him as well. Because it is a blessed person who gets the trust in him. He says, if you trust the Lord and not yourself, if you put your life in his hand, you will discover that he is good. And let's remember, David, at this point in time, not only was being pursued by Saul, who was trying to kill him, he had lost his nice house, and there in Jerusalem, where he lived in quite luxury, actually, at that stage. He had lost his position in the nation, where he was respected. That was all gone as well. He had lost his status. He had lost his security. He had lost everything, and he's hiding in a cave. Yet he was able to say to others, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, what this shows me is it's not the circumstances around us that makes God taste nice. It's God himself and trusting him that tastes nice. And there's a big difference. That means if you have God, it doesn't matter what circumstances you're in, if you're trusting in him, he will taste nice. We can prove him to be good. We know that is the case because when David got to live in the palace and all the luxuries, yet with that time when he sinned with Bathsheba and he refused to repent, he was miserable. He had all the luxuries around him, yet he was miserable. Yet he can be in a cave, lost everything else, and he can say, God is so beautiful. Taste him and see. Because he was where God was. And so don't think, when all is good around me, I'm going to be able to say this. Now, you can say it right now, regardless of the circumstances you're in. You know, I think there's something that we should draw from this when we're thinking about what has transpired here. You know, and that is for David to be able to speak with confidence that the Lord is good, he had to already have tasted and proved him to be good. It wouldn't have meant much if he was running around, cursing God, fearful, hating life, and then he says, oh, and taste and see that the Lord is good. It wouldn't mean much, would it? He had to have proved it and tasted so he can share it with others. You know, putting all your trust in God, where if he doesn't come through, you're in trouble, that isn't very tasty for most people. Or to trust that God's ways are the best when it's not really what you want is hard to swallow. That doesn't seem very tasty as well. Most people want what they want. And so to be able to say, taste and see, you have to have been willing to taste, even through those experiences, prove God to be the case, and then be able to say it yourself. You know, I hardly believed my parents when they had tasted food and said, this is yummy, Alan, you should taste it. But I tell you what, if they hadn't tasted and said, Alan, you should eat this, it's good. Have you tasted it, Mum? No, but it's good. All right, there's no way I'm tasting. Or if they get the lemon and bite into it, taste it, it's good. No, thank you, all right. You have to have been able to taste before you can say, put it onto others and say, taste and see. And it's the same for us. You know, often as parents, we go through circumstances and we don't want to trust the Lord. We act like we've just sucked on a lemon and our children see it. And then we wonder why they don't want to trust the Lord and taste him and see that he's good. No thanks, I don't want that. At work, we may go through circumstances that they go through as well, but sadly we respond the same way they do, whatever it may be, and they see no difference. Yet we try and tell them, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and they think, no, I don't see anything there. We need to be able to be that witness for them. And David was able to do that because he had proved that God was good, even when he was hiding in a cave. You know, imagine what he was saying once he was in the palace, if this is what he said when he was in the cave. And I can't help but thinking that the Lord blessed him abundantly, helped him through those hard times, and you know the story, how he eventually did get into that palace and he was the king. I can't help but think that the reason why he ended up there was because he had the type of attitude he did towards the Lord when he was in the cave. If he had said, don't taste God, he's sour, when he was in the cave, I doubt he would have ever got to the palace. But God saw his heart in those times and was willing to trust him. And because of that, God said, I will take care of you in ways that you can't imagine. And that's what he was able to do. And David had the right to suggest to taste the Lord. Can I ask you, have you earned the right to suggest that? If you're 5 or 6, I understand if you may not have earned the right yet. But as trials and tribulations come in your life, you're going to have opportunities to see and taste and trust the Lord or not. Do you have the right to be able to say it because you've tasted him and shown him to be good? You know, the Apostle Paul said a very similar thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There in verse 3 it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. You know, if you read the story of Paul, you see all the things he went through, all the troubles, the darkness. It seemed like there was no way out. Yet he continued to do what God wanted regardless, and he saw God help him in miraculous ways. And God comforted him through those times, and because of that, he was able to comfort others because he understood, he had tasted that God is good, and he said, let me tell you how God helped me. And that's what going through troubles can be, it not just to experience the goodness of God in our own life, but then we are able to help others with the same, that go through the same thing. Then we're able to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I was thinking of plenty of things, but you know, probably one of the biggest tests or struggles for Linda and I was when we came down here, and biggest fear, I know my biggest fear, is what was going to happen to our children. Because up in Coffs Harbour, we had this lovely little Christian school. It was the best school in the world, we thought. And so thought, what is going to happen down there? And that was fearful. Yeah, we weren't afraid of financially struggling because we had already tasted and seen that the Lord is good. God had provided for us so many times financially. We had tasted and seen that's good. When it come to different circumstances, new people and surroundings, we'd already tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He helps you. He's helped us through that. But we'd never had to trust him with our children. That was scary. To the point where there's a few times I'd nearly changed my mind because I didn't want to take that risk. Yet you come down here and we see that God has this beautiful little school called Olivet just waiting for us. And amazingly, Linda and I are convinced it was better than the one we'd already been to. And it was just perfect, and God had provided. And that was our fear, but God helped us. And I could stand here and say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted he looks after your children too when you put him first. And that you should have story after story. And the older you get, you should have more story. Your appetite of goodness should grow where you can give examples of how good God is. And if you're going through a trial at the moment, can I encourage you to see it as a new opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good? That when you trust him, you will never be disappointed in that. And then once you get through it, and you've tasted and found that he is good, and you see someone else go through a similar problem, go and tell them that you can trust the Lord and taste and see that he is good. Let me show you why he did this for me and the promises for you as well. And so that's what David wanted to do as he was there in that cave. He wanted people to taste and see the Lord is good. I trust you want to do the same in tasting, even though it may not look too good, and then tell others of the same when you have discovered the same thing David did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, you are there. You've made promises. And Father, you will come beside us and comfort us with a comfort that we can't understand through every trouble and trial that you allow us to go through. And Father, I pray that you would help us to see past what seems maybe tasteless or yucky in our life, and Lord, trust you regardless, so that we can have that testimony of David, that testimony of Paul, and that testimony of many believers that have been willing to trust you. We ask for this and commit this time and these words to you in Jesus' name. Amen.